please turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and that is page 110 in your pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. So some of you are asking yourselves, why does Craig have a pink Bible? Good question. And I'll just say that after 25 years of marriage, I finally learned how to share. So, okay, chapter 11, verse 1. Now the people complained about their, Verse 1, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused, and the fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves, and it tasted something like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. Whew. And the people said, praise be to God. Amen.
I like learning new words. And today, I'm going to share a word, a new word for me, and I don't always pronounce it right. And here's the word. Ubiquitous. Can you say that with me? Ubiquitous. Who's ever used the word ubiquitous? Whoa, look at you, smart people, big vocabularies. Ubiquitous. It's an adjective. It means present or appearing or found everywhere. Synonyms are pervasive, inescapable, omnipresent, ubiquitous, ubiquitous. You got to use that like three or four times today, or try to use that today. The antonym of ubiquitous is rare, rare. Say it with me again, ubiquitous. Now, there are a number of examples we could give that we could use the word ubiquitous. The internet is ubiquitous. Cell phones, ubiquitous. There's something else that's ubiquitous, and it was read in our passage today. Do you think you can get it? It's not anger. It's another word, and that's the word, and I don't even know if we needed to get the dictionary out for this one. Not only do we, well, we may not use the word, but we certainly do the word to grumble, to express dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. And that something could be in the past. It could be right here and now, literally where you're sitting, you might complain. Or it could be into the future. To complain or complaining. Israel complained, and you notice that God didn't really appreciate it too much. But did you notice what the antonym of complain is? To give thanks, to be grateful. So I believe complaining is ubiquitous. Anybody agree with me? Okay, don't nudge the person next to you. It's not them we're talking about. It's us. See, the children of Israel, we just heard, complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And fire came out, and if you were on the outskirts of the camp, you're gone. God expressed his anger. And there are several different ways that we complain. You notice they were complaining about what? Their hardships. And every one of us could give a list of hardships. It's like, well, things are just not going the way I want them to. I mean, we don't have the finances that we used to have. Or, you know, our neighbors. Do you know that every week they put their garbage can in my driveway? And so when I pull out, it doesn't matter, I know I should be looking, but if I pull out, I'll just smack the garbage can. Come on, life is hard. Life is really, now we come up with some beauties about our hardships. But what frequently happens when we're complaining about our hardships and someone tries to encourage us, our response is, I know, but it's hard. I know, but it's hard. And unless we get real sympathy and, oh, yeah, that's really hard. I know, but it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I'm not complaining for no reason. It's just really hard. Well, that's the first type of complaining we got. And again, the Lord sent fire and consumed some of them. Moses prayed and the fire died down. But that wasn't the only expression of complaining in the camp of Israel. It said in verse 4 that the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost and no memory. At no cost? Does anyone want to just shout out what role the Israelites had in Egypt? Slaves, but no cost. We had meat. Not only did we have meat, we had fish. Not only did we have fish, we had cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and, of course, garlic. Who can live without sukhtar? You have to have garlic. But now we have lost our appetite, and we never see anything but manna. See, one way of complaining is when things are hard. And again, everybody has hard things. It's difficult. There's no question. And we can frequently complain. But there's a second way. And when we're complaining, the response is, I know, we're trying to be encouraged. I know, but it used to be better. It used to be better. And all of us, I think, suffer from amnesia when we fall into this category, where we don't remember how hard things used to be. We don't remember that winter lasted from October 30th through April 19th. That's New England, just in case you wondered. It's very easy to forget how hard things are when something is in our way right now and it used to be better. Some of us mistakenly think that it was better when Mr. Cleaver would come home and June was in her Sunday best with a nice little apron. Oh, hi. Is it really better? I don't believe it was. Some of us think, oh, it was so much better at the turn of the 20th century. Really, would you like to go back there? It was so much better. It was so much better in Lebanon. That during the war or before the war, it was so much better then. It was so much better. I have an asterisk there. Because you know when it was so much better for them, right? Without God. And I wrote it small because we never say it out loud. It was so much better
before I trusted Christ.
It was so much better. Life was so much easier. Really? Was it so much better? Or do you have amnesia? This is difficult. Moses heard the people of every family wailing. It started with a few. They get the nickname the rabble. But Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. See, when we get complaining, and sometimes when we get on that road of complaining that it used to be better, it's not just a straight road. It's a road that has a descent. And it's a pretty steep descent, so before we know it, we're flying down, and there's absolutely nothing that can stop us from just complaining that it used to be better. And whether we say it or not, there's an implied resentment that it's God's fault. I don't know how many of you received Christ with the promise, the false promise, that everything was going to be better. Was anyone ever presented with the gospel with that little tag on it that you trust Jesus and everything is going to be better? Well, if someone told you that, they were lying. Because you can't read the Bible and make the conclusion that you trust Jesus and everything goes smoothly. It doesn't work that way. But even if no one told you that, there's a possibility that you got it in your head that if you trust Jesus, things will be better. I remember when I was in high school, I was very, very young, and I made it to the, not to the Valley Championship meet, but to the one just before that. God had healed my right hamstring miraculously, and it was like, wow, this is incredible. God entered my world as a 16-year-old, and he healed my leg. In the divisional championship race, running at about 90 meters, my right hamstring popped again. The healing wasn't permanent. And as I limped to the side, crying profusely, confused, angry, I turned to a friend and I said, why did God do that? I knew all the other runners. I'm the only one in this race that loves him. How could he do that to me? And then I corrected myself quickly. How could he let this happen to me? And their response was, you can't say that. You can't say that. We'll come back to that in just a second. What I was thinking was, because I trusted Christ to be my Savior, I might not win the race, but surely I'm not going to limp off the track. Have any of you limped off the track lately, thinking that it used to be better? That it used to be better. There's another form of complaint here. It's actually chapter 12. I didn't have Craig read it, but in chapter 12 we read, Moses and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. See, prejudice isn't anything new. For he had married a Cushite, in case you missed the Cushite wife part. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Be careful. On this complaining business, the Lord hears. And if you think you're mumbling how we do that, he hears it, and he hears it clearly. And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. We're not sure if Moses wrote that or an editor put that in later. I'm pretty sure it was an editor who was in there compiling the Pentateuch. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of Yahweh, the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Here we go, the third time. The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with all its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried to the Lord, please, God, heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can come back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move until she was brought back. See, there's a third way of complaining. It's not just that things are hard. It's not just that things had been better, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Now, remember, it used to be better before God was providing manna for it. Imagine God miraculously providing for your daily food, and that's not enough. Nope, not for them. And it's not enough that God shows up in a pillar of cloud and fire and speaks to Moses, and through Moses speaks to the people. That's not enough. Miriam and Aaron wanted to be the one. They wanted to be the one through whom God spoke. They wanted to be special. They wanted to be God's chosen instrument. Okay, which of us hasn't felt like that? And you don't have to stand up here to feel like that. Everyone's, haven't you just wished you could pray for someone and you'd be the vehicle through which they experienced healing? I mean, wouldn't that, and I mean this in all seriousness, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people, it's like, Lord, would this please be the time? You healed my leg, I know you can do it, would you please do it for them? And his answer is no. It may be my lack of faith. It may be for another reason he has. But don't you wish you could just, you see your friend discouraged, maybe they're complaining, and God would just give you the right word so they can't answer back, no, I know it's just harder. I know it, but it used to be better. Or I know, but I wish it was. Don't you wish you could be the person the voice of God would come through and their life would change? I mean, don't you wish you could be the person that would lead the person you love to Christ? Don't you wish you could be that, and it wouldn't just be this other person, but it could be you? That's what Miriam and Aaron wanted. There was a little jealousy because of his wife, but they wanted to be the one. And God got angry. It's not enough. It's not enough. Do you have a list before God that if you don't do this or this or this, it won't be enough, and I'm going to complain? See, before I got married, I used to think I understood complaining. And again, like I told you, this friend told me at the end of that race, you can't say that. You can't say that. In other words, they said, you can't complain. I was like, okay, I won't complain. So I became what I describe as the silent sufferer or the silent complainer. You don't need to raise your hands on this one. See, the words may not come out of my mouth, but if you watch my face carefully, you might catch a little glimpse that all is not well in the soul of Bud Billy Gregg. That there's just that raised eyebrows like, See, we can suffer silently. We can be complaining silently, possibly provoking the Lord to anger. But I saw myself as someone who didn't complain. I just kept my mouth shut. Well, then when I got married, well, prior to getting married, I met Sosie, but she comes to the United States, someone who had never been apart from her family for more than a month, and she would say things like, it would be so great if my parents were around. I really miss my mom. I really miss my dad. I wish, you know, it's the harvest season, and it's not the same. And, you know, the fruit and vegetables are really nice in Fresno, but they're better in Einjar. And it just would be so nice if I had my, you know, my friends, I don't know anybody here. And she would describe reality. But the silent complainer, how did I interpret her? It's like, Lord, all she does is complain. She's complaining and complaining and complaining. Well, who's really the complainer? The person who is chafing on the inside or the person who is simply expressing? She was not saying, no, don't encourage me, it's just hard. She wasn't saying it used to be better. She just missed it. She wasn't saying that I wasn't enough, although she surely should have been. Every now and then she does. Anyway, but there's a difference between complaining and describing reality, isn't there? I mean, if your car is not working, if it's breaking down all the time and you say, boy, my car's breaking down all the time, you can say that without complaining. You're simply describing reality. If your child is sick again for the 10th time in 6 months and you're saying, oh my goodness, she's sick again. That can simply be describing reality. And those of us who happen to keep our mouths shut need to leave the judgment aside, need to leave the gavel aside and stop judging. Because they're simply describing reality. I hope that provokes a lot of discussion at home today. Well, there's one form of complaining that God does not get mad at. There's one form that God does not get mad at. And that's when Moses is pretty snarky to the Lord. I don't know if you caught this. He asked the Lord in verse 11 of chapter 11, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of these people on me? Did I conceive these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for these people by myself? The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, go ahead and kill me now. If I have found favor in your sight, do not let me face my own ruin. Okay, this seems a little bit stronger of a complaint than all of the others. And if I just read it, I would say, wow, Moses, you get ready. The fire's coming. Or the leprosy is coming. But Moses is simply saying, God, I don't know how to do what you're asking. I don't know. Yeah, and he gets a little dramatic. Go ahead and kill me. But he's saying he can't find meat. It's too much for him to lead this people on his own. I don't know how to do what you're asking, God. It is expressing dissatisfaction. It is expressing annoyance. So he is complaining. But God responds differently than the other ones. God responds with, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand before you. I will come down and speak to you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. You need help, Moses? Got you covered. You bring the 70 leaders, I will bring the same Holy Spirit that's on you, and I will put him on them, and you're all set. He also says, get the people ready because I am going to give them meat. But that's sort of the tail end of the anger, and a bunch of them die. But Moses doesn't die. God is happy to help us accomplish whatever he asks of us. We may not understand how, and pour out your heart before him. Tell him, I don't understand how I'm supposed to do this. I don't understand how. Work is too much. The deadline is on Thursday. I've got to get it done. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have no idea. I've got 3 papers and an exam within 2 weeks. How am I supposed to do that? I don't know how. Pour out your heart before him. He welcomes that. And he likely has something lined up exactly as he had for Moses. It's like God says, I've got this. I've got this. You can rest. I'll take care of it. So there's a difference between complaining, where you wish it was something different and better or more, and pouring out your heart, at least before God. We use the same word for it, and I want to distinguish that. And then there's one last thing that I think is a key for us to avoid the complaining trap. See, God sent his Spirit on the 70 elders, except 2 of the guys, Eldad and Medad, they didn't make it to the camp. They weren't there with the group. And so a boy hears them prophesying, and then Joshua comes to Moses and says, Lord, stop, my Lord, stop them. And Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on all of them. And you catch something in Moses that really is a secret that we all need to embrace to avoid complaining. And it goes back to the antonym of complaining. And that's giving thanks, expressing gratitude. This is the quality of being thankful. Readiness to show appreciation. The antonym is ungrateful. Gratitude. Can you say that? Gratitude. I don't know if there's a more clear expression of faith than saying thank you before you can see how God is providing. I don't know that there's a more clear expression of faith than to say thank you to God before he provides what you need. When you don't understand how, and you say thank you, those 2 simple words are expressing faith. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. Yep, it really was. I liked it better in the past. But thank you. Let's go backwards here. Can we get back to the last slide? So here's our call. Let's not complain. Maybe I should have said, let's stop complaining. Let's stop. And let's just pour out our hearts. Let's change our complaints to, God, how do you want to do this? How do you want to do this? And then by faith, let's give thanks. Please stand. Please receive the benediction. Yevhima merder Jesus Christos ishinorka, horas zosera, yev sur pokvoin haur taxutuna, mer amen in hedala. And now, may the God who hears our every cry, our every prayer, our every complaint, may he fill you with hope that you might cry out, thank you, by faith. Amen.